While living in Michigan, on weekends, I worked at a bookstore. It was an odd job. The store was called Bargain Books, and it was part of a chain with stores in Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, and parts of Canada. The bargain was to be found in the sale of remaindered books, publisher's overstock that was otherwise going to be thrown out, bought cheaply a year after disappointing sales, and offered for sale cheap. So we were selling books nobody wanted. We were sort of an island of unpopular works. Stock wasn't even inventoried. It was dated. If it didn't sell after a while, it was moved to the back and priced at a dollar. If it didn't sell then, after a good long while, it was tossed out. By law, they had to do this. They couldn't even donate them. I don't know why. Though the whole operation worked on the principle of low overhead, the store where I worked in Ann Arbor was extraordinarily low rent. It was an old warehouse with a gravel parking lot right next to the railroad tracks. The company itself seemed to have no faith in this outlet and was continually looking to rent out the space to some other business. For most of the time I worked there, there was a second-hand store taking up a third of the building. Chicken wire and 2x4 walls closed it off from the real store. The second-hand shop didn't have an entrance of its own and was much more popular, so people were constantly crossing the entire length of the bookstore without stopping once, often pushing shopping carts full of donations. It's hard to describe the space of this place. It was big. It was so big and seemingly empty that the chief reaction to it was disbelief. Everybody coming in for the first time said, "Wow." They couldn't believe the amount of space that was enclosed there. The ceilings were 2 stories high, with the second story occupied only by hanging fluorescents. Along the walls were a few shelves, but for the most part the books were lying face up on long folding tables. So for the great expanse of the place, you had this grid of hip-high tables, and then the fluorescents overhead, and nothing in between. Birds got in through broken windows nobody bothered to fix, and their acrobatics in this middle expanse heightened the impression of vast, empty distances. The job was this: take people's money and account for it at the end of the shift, empty the boxes and find a place for the books, and most importantly, dust. We dusted the books with filthy rags soaked in Windex. Really. You were encouraged to do this very quickly. In this and in all things, encouragement took the form of a note written on a yellow, self-sticking square on the bulletin board. Once over the whole store each week, then start again. So you worked real wet. What resulted from all this activity was an old warehouse stocked with face-up paperbacks with curled covers. The smell of sour dust and wet rags never really left your nose. Your hands were pruny and stained in patterns of dried, dirty soap foam. One shift I just couldn't bring myself to dust. Instead, I made art. I'd found an old shelf made of black press board. It had collapsed beside the register and lain a long time where it had fallen. Dust the color of exhaled smoke had piled there until it was as thick as your shirt. I pulled the shelf out of the cave-in and took it to the desk where I spent my shift when I didn't feel like doing my job. With my finger and some water, I reproduced an early Rembrandt self-portrait. It was simple. One of the first drawing methods I was taught as a child was to draw with an eraser in a layer of pigment. It was called a rub-out. I got the shadows marked out by just removing the dust and exposing the black shelf underneath. When it came to the highlights on the nose, forehead, and hair, I went around with a broom and swept up more material to work with, and then I very carefully sprinkled it, building up piles until they caught the light in a way that I liked. When the shift finished, I found a box at the back of the store. I sat the shelf in the bottom of the box and carefully drove home. I knew this would be a video piece the minute I started it. I took the dust portrait home, took it out of the box, and set it on a blanket on the floor. I had called ahead and Maya opened the door for me. In the video, you can hear her talking on the phone, except she doesn't like the sound of her voice, so I turn the sound down when I show it to people. I put the video camera on the tripod and positioned the tripod directly above the portrait. I turned on the camera, lighted the spotlight, and with a wet rag soaked in Windex, I dusted away all of the work I did on my shift on October 29th. In the year 2000, at Bargain Books on South State Street, Ann Arbor, Michigan.